Welcome to the Heart, Hearth, Earth podcast, where we gather around the metaphorical hearth to share ideas and conversations on matters of the heart, hearth, and earth. Cross-pollinating as we span our wings, connecting the threads of ancestral wisdom. I believe ancestral wisdom provides a roadmap to a regenerative culture, contributing to thriving communities, healing, and health. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians where I stand, the Biripi people, and all other First Nations people across this land.
Hey everyone, welcome to Heart, Half, Earth podcast. I've got one of my dearest and most beautiful friends with me, which is exciting because we've been talking about doing this podcast for a while, but life happens and I haven't really been recording many. But if you follow me on social media, you've probably seen a couple of herbal medicine making workshops that I've shared and that I teach that with Aspen. So that's who I've got in today. I've got Aspen from Earthly Virtues and also the businesses she has with her partner, Pete, MediJelly and Midcoast Honey. So Earthly Virtues is the herbal medicine product and other beautiful bee and honey product business that Aspen has and Paige that she shares on. So I'll let her talk more about that, but thanks for finally making it here, Aspen.
Yay, we made it. Yeah,
we made it after like 45 minutes of technical things too.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your podcast.
Oh, it's awesome. I think we talked about it like well over a year ago because the first workshop we ran together was in November last year, so it's almost like a year later we're doing our third one, which is cool. And I think we spoke about it like in September before that one. So Yeah, these things take time sometimes.
Long time coming. Yeah.
So I guess I'd love for you just to explain a little bit about what Earthly Virtues is about and also MediJelly and the honey business. And then maybe after that we'll jump into like how you got into herbalism and sort of like your whys behind it.
Yeah, well, Earthly Virtues is a name that came to me quite a few years ago now. But after we got into bees and through getting into bees and honey production, we've had a lot of wax. And so I really felt like I wanted to make things out of the wax and bring it to sort of together with herbs and the herb journeys that I've been on. And so I finally got it together to make some products probably a couple of years ago and really just in the last year started trying to, I guess, make a hobby into a bit of a small business. And I have a few different products available locally and on my website, but that's sort of, it's still all just growing and as I'm learning as well and learning with you and, offering our workshops together, and that's been all part of the journey. Yeah.
And so MediJelly as well is an amazing, awesome Australian Manuka honey. You want to just tell us a little bit about that business and product?
Yeah, well, if I go back a bit further, we started working with bees over 12 years ago, and that started as our business. We actually had a name change. Our name now is Midcoast Honey. And at that stage, we didn't know about Manuka honey and how that we were living in an area that produces lots of Manuka honey. So that was like, I guess, a learning journey about bees and trees and all the different properties that honey has for healing. So the Manuka honey is made by bees that forage on the leptospermum plants, and this is mostly a coastal plant and the mid-coast region and pretty much up and down the east coast of Australia has lots of different leptospermum plants. And so when we started, we found out, when we started beekeeping in the area, we found out that this area is just full of leptospermum plants. And so we started to focus on that. And that honey ranges in activity, which has different medicinal properties. So like the stronger the activity, the higher the impacts it has for healing. And yeah, so it's like honey that it's antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. It's just like contains so much. And so yeah, we've been primarily focusing on that. And when I've started getting into making products for skin, I guess mostly, I've looked at incorporating some of that Manuka honey into our balms. And it's like really good to eat, but really good for skin as well, like the Manuka honey alone. Although one of the products that I make, I call honey boo-boos. And pretty much everything you can eat in there, I choose things that that are edible. But it's not a food product.
Awesome. Yeah, I was going to mention the honey boo-boo, so I'm glad you did. But that's good. So in case you pop it on like your toddler's knee or something and they start licking it, you don't have to worry.
Yeah, and the name evolved from that, from having children who have some boo-boos, they fall over and hurt themselves. That's the behind the name, the boo-boos. And so, yeah, it's just great to stick on everything, including lips. And, yeah, I've had some friends whose children actually do eat it. And, I've heard other young girls eating lip balm, and that's probably not the most healthiest option. But for this one, I'm like, no, that's okay.
Yeah, it's actually a dose of herbal medicine.
Yeah.
So we should actually talk about that a bit as well, which ties into how you got into herbalism. And I know we've talked about this together. And I think it's pretty common, actually, when I listen to other people into herbalism, that there might be like a bit of an interest out there. But when you become a mother, you really start to take a lot of things seriously. And one of those is how to care for your children. And naturally, you and I are gravitated towards herbal medicine for caring for our children. So yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit about how you got into herbalism. I know that you've had some people that have inspired you in your world, but also mothering and then your business as well.
Yeah, well, I guess it really starts as a child. And when I was about eight, I moved to the bush with my family out of the city, out from Melbourne. And so we moved to the east coast of Australia in a tiny little village called Boban. And there was a small school there. There's still a small school there. And during recess and lunch, we used to just play with weeds, play with grass, play with whatever was out there, which was lots of different things. And like, I distinctly remember playing with plantain and also discovering like that if we rub these herbs together or the weeds, that it would do a certain thing, such as there's, I can't remember what it's called now, but one that grew down next to the river would like burn you. It was like so hot, and so it was like something that we'd, try and encourage other kids to burn themselves with this leaf, or the smell of the eucalypt leaves. And if you got stung, because there's so many insects around as well when you're living in the bush, what leaf could you rub on your sting or your bite, and how that would counteract the bite. So I think since then it's always sort of been there. And my mum also had a love for herbs, and I remember her like growing a lot of culinary herbs and things like rosemary. She would make tea out of it and then put it in her hair as a hair rinse. So there's certain things over the years as I grew up that I guess these memories have really come back to me as a mother, as I started to get more in touch with what's growing around me and how we can use them to better our family's health. I've had a lot of sensitivities. As a teenager, I realized that I couldn't use a lot of normal products that other people would use, like, you know, sprays, hairsprays, deodorant, makeup, and a lot of moisturizers as well. That would just really affect my skin and sting me and just feel really bad on me. And then around the time that I became a mother and I moved near my mother-in-law, she introduced me to Pat Collins, the herbalist, who's also in New South Wales, and some of her recipes. And she started making some of the products, including the moisturizer. And so I started getting into it. Then around the time that my firstborn was born, and so that's like 15 years ago now, and it just felt so good on my skin. And so I've just really been, I guess, playing around with things since then. And then coming into the bees and having all this beautiful beeswax, I've started to get more into the herbal salves and balms. And I've also had a bit of an interest and inspired by my mother-in-law making tinctures, but I haven't had a lot of experience there. So I'm still growing my knowledge there and just using, I guess now I'm really focusing on using what's around me, what I can grow, but also what is growing wild, and really tuning into the memories, like realizing that, yeah, plantain's been in my life a long time. And like sometimes I just feel like I know what herbs are and I'm like, how do I know that? I just, yeah, it's just this memory that I'm trying to really tap into that, and just, yeah, learn about what is right outside my door, because I feel like that the earth sends you what you need, like if you tune into that. And so I've got a lot of chickweed growing that I'm using now, and calendula and comfrey, and all things that are, I guess, really good for skin healing. And yeah, teamed with the Manuka honey and beeswax, they're just all really good skin healing properties. And so that's where I'm at. I guess also it's sort of come about through living so rurally as well, like we've really had to, and this is something that my mother sort of instilled in me as well, is that we have to get creative and resourceful with what we've got or have around us, because you can't just go to the shops and buy something really easily, and also that's like a more conscious choice, reducing, you know, needless consumption, and yeah, transforming what we've got around us into something that our bodies and our families need.
I love that. Yeah, we talk about this in the workshop, that once you start viewing your world like that and realizing how much medicine is right there at your back doorstep or nearby, it really shifts your mindset into this like mindset of abundance. It's like, oh, there's so much around. And once you discover a few things, so whether it's chickweed or dandelions or the plantain, your mind just starts ticking. It's like, well, what else is out there and what can that do? And I can really relate to that experience of feeling like you see a plant and you get called to it and drawn to it, and it's almost like you know that it's healing, you just don't know all the details yet. You've got to like work it out, and it might be that you know the name of the plant, but maybe you don't even know the plant. You have an idea of what it is, but you need to ID it, and then you start looking into it more and realizing it has all these medicinal qualities, but that first spark is being drawn to the plant first. It's almost like, really feels like it's calling you in. And because it's impossible to know all the plants all at once, and you and I discuss this, that it's really awesome and probably like a really grounded way to learn is to delve into just a few herbs at a time or one herb at a time. It's almost like you could go years delving into three or four or five herbs, and then all of a sudden that one herb slash weed or plant, that you've seen that's sort of been in the background all of a sudden comes to the forefront. And it's like, me, come and get to know me. And so you do, and you start learning about it more, and you're like, wow, how have I lived alongside you all this time and not picked you and not made medicine from you and not consumed you? But, yeah, it's such an awesome part of the journey. It's really cool to hear that side of your story.
And there's so much to know about each single herb and the different ways that you can consume that. And so, yeah, it's like really opening your curiosity to that. What does it smell like? What does it feel like? How does it go in a tea, if it's a dried tea or a fresh herb tea? And then I guess, yeah, like the tinctures and the other things that you've been exploring too. Is it the oxymols and
The vinegars and oxymols.
And all and these they all contribute to our first aid kit. They all heal us in different ways, and it can all be from that one same plant, or, you know, like, it's interesting to explore how different plants can actually heal similar things as well. And I've heard herbalists say that you don't prescribe the same herb for the same condition for every person. Every person's constitution is different, and what do they need? And I think that tuning into your intuition can really help highlight that, if you're looking to heal yourself or your family, or then if you go further down the path of healing other people in the community.
Absolutely. Look, I've only just started drinking plantain tea, but I've been making oil from plantain for so long for balms, but that's okay. I feel like I wasn't ready for plantain tea before, and now I'm like, I've actually got something going on in my health. And I was reading about plantain again, because you can never stop learning about one herb. I'm always listening to different podcasts and different books, and something popped out on the page. I was like, oh yeah, I should be drinking this in tea as well, not just in oil. So it's awesome. You're so right. Like, even one herb you could be learning about for a lifetime in different applications, whether it's oils or tinctures or tea. You're so right. And so I feel like you and I have dabbled in lots of different areas of herbalism with all the different things you can make, but we both really love herbal oils. And it's something that we've done and taught in the workshops as well. But can you talk a little bit about the herbal oils you're making at the moment? So you mentioned the chickweed and the plantain, and was it comfrey as well that you said?
Probably the one that I've used a lot of lately is comfrey oil, and I use both the root and the leaf. I've been using it partly because my son broke his leg, and so it's a really good oil for broken bones. But it's also, I'm finding, just a really good all-rounder oil for most skin complaints, like the sunburn and any little sore that's not deeply infected, because it heals the skin so well, you don't want to seal it in. And it's a really rich oil, I find, with using with the leaf. But when it's just the root, it's actually not as, you don't get the same color, because the leaf contains the pigment, I guess. And calendula is one of my favorites that I've been working with for a few years now. And so this year I decided to actually plant my own calendula, and my veggie garden is like covered in calendula flowers, and I haven't got much room for veggies this year, but lots of herbs. That's the one that I really like putting on my face. I mix that one into my moisturizer. And it's just, this year my extraction has become really rich in color, and it's just such a pretty color. I just love it. I guess like it gets its name from the sun. There's just so many options for the oil, but really good to soothe your nervous system, because your skin's your biggest organ and you really absorb through your skin. And so I've just been Doing as many different oils really as possible, but I'm finding the ones I actually use the most are the calendula and comfrey at the moment.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that that idea of our skin being our largest organ, which it is, and that when we're doing oiling, it helps to calm our nervous system, something about rubbing oil on our skin. But then also by just giving that an added boost, by adding herbal oils in there, you're observing as a way of like drinking tea or having a tincture, by putting herbal oils on your skin, it's actually being absorbed into your body and your blood. Plus you're healing your skin and moisturizing your skin. There's all those benefits as well. But you're actually getting the medicinal properties and benefits from applying it to the skin in a really gentle way. But it is still powerful, as you would have seen with wound healing. And do you think it helped with your son's broken leg? Oh my gosh, that was such an intense journey. If anyone's listening out there and had a child with a broken leg, I'm sure they're going, "Ah, oh, I wish I had known that." Or maybe,
Look, it's been a very long, it's been a long, complicated recovery. And I've thrown quite a few different herbs at him over the time. but yeah, the comfrey, I really feel like is a really good one for the. Because it affects the joints and like helps with aches as well, aches and pains. And the oil is like really concentrated, I guess, is the thing, but absorbs really quickly. So sometimes you'd rather use a salve or a balm because it absorbs more slowly. So sometimes that might mean that it gets more of a chance to go in there. However, because it's a balm mixed with, I use beeswax, it's not as concentrated. So I really like using the all the different methods for whatever that is. But yeah, the oiling is definitely a big part of it. I just really get into the feel as well of rubbing these things on my body, whether it's a balm or an oil. It just feels really good and nurturing. Whereas lots of different products I've used over the years, I just couldn't handle it. You know, things like sunscreen as well. It's just, they just don't feel good. I'm loving that oiling method.
It actually feels nourishing. Like if you have a really great, healthy meal and you feel well nourished afterwards, it's the same sort of feeling when you're putting on the oil. Yeah, that's a good point to make, that the herbal oils are more concentrated, but they will not stick to the skin for as long, whereas the balms with the beeswax or the tallow or something else will be less concentrated but hold onto the skin for longer and probably moisturize for longer too. Whereas the oil is moisturizing, it's going to penetrate, whereas with the beeswax or the tallow or something like that, it's going to lock that moisture in the skin as well and kind of stay on there for longer.
It's also another great one to put in your baby bath or your child's bath, depending on their age. I wasn't so much into herbal oils when my kids were really little, but I did put olive oil or coconut oil in their bath, and I found it was just, if I did that regularly, their skin would just much stronger, and because they did have sensitivities as well, but it seemed to like just like by keeping up that moisture, it kept it being I guess a bit of a barrier that they wouldn't get the same eczema when I was oiling them. And the method of putting in the bath, it just means they're just totally covered in oil, which can get a bit tricky when you're getting them out and also a bit messy, but
make sure you've got a good grip.
Yeah, and the benefits outweigh the mess, I felt. So
I agree. I remember doing that too, and I don't know if you taught me someone did, but I remember making my own baby wipes on and off, not all the time, but especially with my first, I did it more with like paper towel and then some boiled water and calendula oil that I'd made, which I now know was so weak. It was pretty much just oil. But anyway, the intention was there.
Yeah.
And the oil was still handy, and it meant that it led me to where I am now, making much more effective oils. I think that's a good point too, is to just to start with what, like, if you've got an interest to follow that spark, if anyone's out there listening and thinking, oh, absolutely, I wanted to do this, or maybe you've already started, to remember, and you and I tell this, these stories in the workshops, is that, you know, my first herbal oil was calendula. I grew some calendula and I put a couple of flowers in the bottom of a jar and topped it up with oil. And it's the classic thing to do. It would have had very little potency, but it looked really beautiful on the windowsill.
Yeah.
I now don't even put my oils in the sun. But these are all the things that you and I have spent years and years. Like, my eldest is 9 now and yours is 15. And, you know, we've been going through the trial and error and learning along the way, but it didn't just happen overnight. Like, it takes reading and research, but actually doing it and having a few fails, or just, and that's all part of it. Like, to be okay with that part of the journey is really important.
Yeah. Start where you're at and you'll build from there. And I guess, like, and that's really, I've noticed that's happened with me as well. Like, I've had all these plans and then very little time over the mothering period, and putting things off because I wanted it to be a certain way or be perfect. And really the biggest gains have come from when I've just jumped in and done whatever I felt I could do at the time. You know, you just start anywhere and that sparks your curiosity. If it is a beautiful jar of flowers in oil, then that's great, you know. And like one of the herbalists that we follow, April from She's of the Woods, she just says, you're absolutely smart enough to do this. And that's it. It's really, sometimes it's a confidence thing. You just got to get in there and start, and you'll learn trial and error. And I think the thing that I've really felt with you, Shelley, is that we also inspire each other. So when we check in with each other about what we're doing and been making and up to, and then that inspires me to go out and do it a little bit more, you know, like, so recently after our last chat, I started blending up the chickweed, the raw chickweed, in water and then freezing it and eating it or having it as a really cool, refreshing drink. And I'm still, like, that's only just sort of happened, so I'm still feeling into how that feels for me. But at the moment, it feels really nourishing and refreshing.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, and vice versa. I feel the same. I get so inspired. That must have been when I was doing the cleavers. Like, I was just gung-ho on the cleavers. So I've been meaning to do a podcast, like, on that and maybe on the pine. But for people listening, just quickly, at certain times when I've had lots of fresh herbs around me, so I've had a phase with gotacola, with chickweed, and recently it was cleavers. So here in Australia, we're in the middle of spring, so October, it's quite a hot spring, but cleavers was around me. I had access to a lot of cleavers, and so I was picking a lot of cleavers, and I had made oil with it in the past, and I'm just not sure where I sit with cleavers and oil. I think it's probably better as a water extract and a tincture. So what I was doing was getting the cleavers, and I've actually got a tincture that's about a month old that I'm about to decant. And I'm excited to get into that. But when it was fresh, I was pretty much just popping it in the blender in my Ninja as much as possible with water, blending it up and then straining it and getting this really strong green juice. It doesn't have a strong flavor for anyone that hasn't had cleavers. It's just kind of green and grassy. And then I would add things like lemon juice, or I've got like this herbal probiotic thing that's a little bit sweet, and I pop maybe a little capful of that in, just something else. And drinking it for maybe like 2 weeks on and off. I was making bottles at a time and it was so good. And anytime I've done this in the past, like, sometimes I do mixed herbs. I do like mint and chickweed, or gotacola and mint. And it just feels really good. And that's a great way. Once you've identified a herb and you're sure of it, that's something you can do. Like, anyone can make a green juice. We've all heard of wheatgrass shots or other types of juices, and it's really not that different. And I think the best, if you're going to try that, the best way is to just have a small amount to start with and just see how your body feels, and then maybe a little bit more, and then up to a glass full. So you might start with like a shot and then, or dilute it and then work up from that.
It's a really good way to increase your minerals, isn't it? And if you can forage these from safe, clean places and know for sure what they are, then it's just so accessible to have that, the fresh medicinal mineral requirements that you need. They're just out there.
Hey, it's no surprise that when it comes to health, nutrient-dense foods are my priority. However, let's be honest, we don't always get the balance right. So when it comes to supplements, I like to use whole foods too. My kids and I have been using Satouray's liver and oyster capsules alongside the Greener Pastures cod liver oil for quite some time as a way to support our immune systems and ensure we keep our A, D, E and K vitamins up. You can check out my affiliate links in the show notes as a way to both support this podcast and yours and your family's health.
And so at the moment we've got nettle and thistle as well. I think I'm a bit late on the nettle harvest up here. I think it's already gone to seed. The other thing that I am trying to, I guess, get more into is writing down so I have a calendar of what is in my local area at what time is, and like what time is of the year is good to harvest it.
Yeah, it's such a good idea. I'm trying to do that more too. And so that, and even though it might change a little bit by a little bit,
yeah,
wet year or dry, you're still in that ballpark. You still know roughly when to get ready for it.
Mm.
Yeah. So have you learnt much about the medicinal properties of nettle seeds?
No.
So I harvested some nettle and I did get some leaf, but then some had gone to seed and I picked it anyway and brought it home and I was like, surely there's something the nettle seeds can do. And so I did what you and I do and I listened to like heaps of podcasts from amazing herbalists. And, yeah, a nettle seed tincture is really good for certain types of kidney degeneration. So I'm going to look into that more. I've got the seeds dried sitting aside. And I'm going to make a tincture with them soon and sprinkle some around my yard up the back.
Yeah. Somewhere where the kids won't be walking.
Yeah, that's right. My issue is the chickens in my garden, so I'm a bit jealous of your beautiful garden you have. I haven't managed. My chickens keep escaping and they keep digging up stuff. But, So there's something you touched on before and it would be good to hear if you've got any more to say on it for anyone listening out there, because I know there's a lot of mothers and or slash busy people out there. And I know you and I are really real and raw and honest about this aspect of our lives. It can be hard. Like, it's very fulfilling and I could happily play with herbs all day. I could happily, my motivation to forage herbs and to produce products is so high that I'm about to go on a road trip. Again, my yearly road trip out west to harvest St. John's wort and hopefully make even more oil than last year because I'm down to my last jar of it. If anyone's listening, I've got a podcast on St. John's wort from a little while ago. But in saying that, like, my motivation is so high that I'm willing to like go on a couple of hour road trip to do it. However, day to day, like we have businesses and I work and got kids, it can feel really challenging to fit it all in and overwhelming. Have you got any wise words of advice on that for people that are feeling like, oh, this is great, you must just be sitting there with all this time on your hands? It's not true. We're not, but we still fit it in.
I don't know, it's a regular battle. I guess, you know, the biggest thing is not beating yourself up about it. Don't feel guilty. I feel like I've got a bit of an ADD brain and so sometimes I'm all over the place, and so I do every now and then sort of go, right, you just have to finish this job because sometimes that, you know, the flowers or the weeds take a long time to dry, but then they might sit there for a little while. So it's like, okay, now's the time to just put all the herbs away properly, or put them into oil, let them sit, the tincture thing. Like, I've been pretty sporadic with my tincture making over the years as well, and sometimes they've sat for a very long time. But once again, listening to herbalist like April from She Is of the Woods, she says, look, it doesn't matter. Just do it. Just strain it when you remember and when you can. And I think the other part of that, I guess, is that we're perhaps both shifting into is that, yeah, using what you've got at the time. So in the beginning, I was just like, just wanted to get every herb, and I was buying all these different herbs, and in the end they weren't as fresh as they could be, and there was just too many, you know, so many options, and I'm trying to put everything into an anti-itch salve, and you know, that sort of means that they're not as concentrated either, because there's a little bit of everything in them, which could be good for some things, but really you want that higher concentration of herb to, I guess, have the best beneficial effect. So keeping it simple, and that's the beauty of going deep with just one or two herbs as well, that you're really giving yourself a chance to dive deep with that one herb, not overcomplicating things, and hopefully, I guess, reaping the benefits rather than being spread too thinly. And also, yeah, that importance of keeping the herbs as fresh as possible. And often when we buy herbs, they've come from overseas, depending on which herbs they are. And so there's usually an option that's growing right outside your door. The other thing that I would say is that try and involve your children. Sometimes, as we know, it can be messier and take longer as well than if you just did it yourself. But if we're, you know, teaching them from a young age, then they're growing up with it as well, and you end up doing these things together, particularly if you're looking at, you know, you're making your first aid kit for your family and your home, then you're all working on that together.
That's right. And even if it is just little bits here and there, like, don't underestimate planting the seeds for your children, because they will grow up and they'll tell stories like you have, or even more so, like, oh yeah, I remember mum growing this and then I would help her pick it, and we would go out on a road trip and mum would just be on the side of the road for half an hour picking this plant.
Yeah.
That's all good advice. And I think, it is good advice. Again, start where you are, but keep that in mind that often there is an option locally and that is going to be more potent, because from like an energetic point of view, it's grown on the land where you are. So it's responding to it sounds a bit woo-woo, but it's actually really grounded. It's responding to the environment fairly local to where you are, with the sun, with the soil, with everything like that. So if the soil's depleted, a lot of these herbs that people have called weeds are great at extracting the minerals that are needed in the soil. So if you're eating from your local soil that could be deficient in something, those plants are able to access that, and then you're consuming it. That's just one example. There's so many examples of how that could apply. But also then it comes back to that mindset of abundance that I still buy some herbs online, but not many, many at all, less and less, because I've either got them growing or I'd rather spend money on that road trip to go get them, and then they're almost free. Obviously, you're doing it ethically, you're trying to find somewhere clean, you're not taking everything, taking what you need. But I've found usually with these plants here in Australia, the ones we're harvesting, there's an abundance of them when they're on. There isn't much risk at the small scale that we're working of over-harvesting. There is no way I could have harvested even 10% of the St. John's wort where I went. And likewise with the plantain, like I've got plantain all through my backyard, and anytime I'm harvesting, I'm only taking maybe a third of each plant. So it's always there and it's free. All it took was my time, a secateurs, bags and a basket. And there's something really empowering about that in a world where we have that idea of local and homegrown, there's still usually some underlying mindset that we need to buy things or acquire it from outside of ourselves or from someone else who's more knowledgeable or who has created a product that's, you know, more tailored to this. But actually, it's all there. We can just go get it ourselves. People have been doing it for hundreds of thousands of years. And when you start doing it, It's like something wakes up inside your body, mm-hmm. and your brain and your heart, and you're like, oh, that's right. I've been able to harvest my own medicine. And all of my ancestors have been doing this for a long time. There might have just been a little gap in the knowledge line. But, yeah, I do think just we don't really blink an eyelid or flinch at all when we talk about animals having instincts and animals just knowing where to lay their eggs or knowing where to go to get food or knowing where to go at certain seasons. And really, why is it any different? We're a part of the animal kingdom. And that's just, you know, herbal medicine and foraging and growing is just one expression of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to mention that how powerful community is as well, particularly when women gather. I think we remember more and we inspire each other, but not just that. But really building community networks for whatever it is that you do, but in terms of herbalism for home families, if we, you know, you have a herb sister, like I think you and I are herb sisters, and we share, you know, information, but we can also swap what we've got in abundance, because what grows in my area is not quite the same as your area or where you're foraging. And then the idea of maybe creating herb circles where you gather regularly and share and swap what you've been making, or even get together and make up some things together. And that helps support that busy family lifestyle where you feel like you can't get everything done. It's really good to share some of those tasks together, whether it's growing food or, you know, sharing other ideas as well. I think that the power of community is really essential to thriving families.
And sharing knowledge would have been the original workshops of the original university. It would have been women all sharing knowledge that they'd had passed on to them, and men, but within the context of mothers and families. And then coming together and talking about real life experiences, like, oh, my child had this happen and I used this and it worked. My family member had this happen and it worked, and actually sharing those real life experiences. So it doesn't need to be expensive. You don't need to go out there and do degrees and diplomas in herbal medicine. Although if you want to, that's great. But there is a lot of information that can be shared online and in person. I think it's such an important thing to bring it back to the community aspect of sharing. And not, like, it's not, I feel like the beautiful thing about the herbal medicine community overall, like globally, and then what you and I share together and what we've shared in workshops, is it never feels competitive. It always feels collaborative. Mm-hmm. There's always this sense, usually, not always, but overall, of just sharing knowledge. Like, this is the herb. This is what I've learned about it. This is what I use it for. Hey, tell me what your experience has been. And it's just such a beautiful feeling to get away from everything being monetized, even though people, you know, we can have a business and value our time and our products and sell them. But those connections and those relationships that form feel, yeah, they feel really free. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, nourishing connections.
Yeah. So speaking of community and connections, you and I have our third workshop coming up, which is exciting, on the 12th, Sunday the 12th of November, here on the Mid Coast, so in a little town called Wingham, which is sort of in between where both of us live. I really, actually, speaking of that, I like the point you made about being rural, and this can apply to anyone, but it does change your mindset when you live a fair way from the hospital, like you do, or from a medical center, or from a shop even, to buy stuff, is to be able to access things quickly. So I really liked that point. A little town called Wingham, and there's an awesome community space and organization called the Womenkind Collective. I will pop all the links up in the show notes here and on social media, and I have shared them before. And there's lots of really cool workshops there. It's a great resource for the community. And for people who aren't familiar with this local community and like much of the East Coast, a few years ago, the area went through devastating fires, as many areas of the world have, extremely devastating. And there has been funding and grants since then to rebuild community connections and wellbeing, which has been awesome. And that money has gone through the community in various ways. And one of the ways is that our workshops up until now, and who knows how long, but the last few have been subsidized, which means they're super, super accessible to people. It's just like a $15 suggested donation. That's a suggestion. There's no way you and I could afford to run those workshops. Mm. It's such a great cost. So it's been a real privilege to be able to offer them with you and in such an accessible way for people. Yeah, and they've just been really beautiful workshops with such interesting women at all different stages of the journey. Some just starting, some have been making products for a while, some have been gardening for a while. And it just feels really good to come together. There's, even though we're teaching how to make certain products, there's still that conversation and that collaboration. And what we've done in the past few workshops is make herbal oils, a balm and cream, and bring in some in-season herbs. So again, this workshop, we're going to make some in-season herbal oils, balm and cream. And then after that, I think we spoke about kind of branching out and doing other things like the tinctures and the vinegars and the oxamels as well, possibly. But yeah, I'd love to hear like a little bit from you about how you found the workshops and what you love about them and why you love sharing, because you're so humble, like you're so knowledgeable. You probably hate me saying this, but you have such a great way of sharing knowledge as well. Like, it's definitely a gift of yours.
Thanks, Shelley. Yeah, and thanks for encouraging me to do the workshop with you. And it's just wonderful to do that with you and to be continually inspired before, during and after the workshops by you and by the women we meet. And I just love community and connecting and coming together for a collective sort of mission or, you know, interest. I just find so inspiring. Everyone has a story, and sometimes, you know, they might not realize it until they're given that opportunity, or that, you know, you gather around a particular interest and hear and share everyone's stories and surprise yourself maybe about the things that come to mind. And I really feel like, yeah, remembrance and remembering where we've come from, and these herbs that have been around for so long are a big part of that. But actually connecting face to face is just a really great experience. And everyone gets to take away some of these products too at the end of the day. And it's been like, I really love that we can see how inspired people are at the end. And if they're going away with their plans to make certain things that, you know, might be, have been growing in their garden for a very long time, or just even that, you know, going away with the curiosity to observe what is in their backyard, at their back door, or in their neighborhood. I guess the potential is endless. It's all around us. I do hope that we could move to these spaces where we are, groups of women are, or families in general are, gathering regularly in their local neighborhood and sharing these ideas and products that they make.
Yeah, I love that idea of the herb circle. Such a good idea. And it's a good point that you make, that often those stories do come out in a gathering, whether it's a workshop or a circle or a conversation. And I always find it inspiring when I hear a story, and often the way people come to herbal medicine or to anything to do with healthy eating and lifestyle is through their own challenges and struggles with health, as you and I have, when there might have been already an interest there, but then that next motivation to really delve deep and to practice it and put it into action comes from wanting to heal ourselves and those around us. And I get so inspired when I hear other people's stories who might be experiencing health issues or have overcome health issues or managing them really well. And when humans empower themselves and don't just resigned to their story, to go, oh, well, I've got this health issue, that's it for me. Not to say that everything can be cured by herbal medicine, but a lot of things, some things can, and a lot of things can be managed really well with healthy lifestyle. So it's so inspiring when you hear people's stories of either wanting to keep learning and to keep healing and move towards thriving health, or having already started that journey. It's really, it's a great thing. And then it inspires, like, even if we're there teaching how to make a product, you're right, you leave going, oh, just even more inspired. More inspired to do that even more for myself. So
yeah,
such a positive unifying thing in a time where sometimes it feels like out there in the world there's a lot of divisiveness, and whether that's intentional or unintentional, it's sort of this momentum of divisiveness, and anything that is unifying and positive and about growth and coming together is also the medicine, like maybe even more so the medicine as well.
Yeah, healing community, that's at that grassroots level, that it begins with us and it begins with our children. And that's why I guess we're so inspired for, you know, teaching from it, or sharing knowledge from a point of view from family health. That all starts within our family unit.
And it does, yeah.
That little seed that grows, and hopefully that just continues to grow and grow outwards and heal the communities and the environment around us.
That's right. We talk about, like, breaking generational patterns and, like, reclaiming traditional knowledge, and herbal medicine is just one of those ways that you can do that. And it has to start somewhere, like you said, even if you're not going to be able to reclaim thousands of years worth of knowledge in one lifetime, you can start that stepping stone and then hand that baton over to our children and our communities. And once it's started and the ball's rolling, and at least it's rebuilding, it's sort of regenerating again. It's got to start somewhere. So I always say to people, like, if you feel that calling at all, that's because you're meant to. Like, if we all have different roles in coming together as humanity and creating like a regenerative culture in humanity, whatever those little callings are and those little whispers are, follow those, because that's part of your role in doing that. Cool. All right, have you got anything else to say about the workshop?
Oh, just looking forward to meeting you if you're coming.
Yeah. Who are
listening out there, it's always good to, like, I still learn things about herbs from the women who come. And it's just, like I said, everyone's got a story, and I just feel really curious to hear what those new stories may be.
And we have, like, we by no means pitch ourselves as experts. However, collectively, we do have quite a bit of experience where we feel like we can help people, like, we can just kickstart their journey a bit. They don't have to make all the mistakes we made. They can sort of start ahead a little bit. So we do have lots of great tips on how to get started on herbal oils and balm and your creams. That's your forte. I actually would love to start getting into that, but I haven't yet. So, yeah, we will. There is, like, a lot of good knowledge there that we can hand over and get you started quickly.
Yeah. Empowering others, yeah.
Can you tell people where they can find you, like your social media and your website? And I'll pop those links in too.
Yeah, so my tag on Instagram is Earthly Virtues, which is EARTHLY Virtues, VIRTUES. And I've also got a website, earthlyvirtues.com.au. And for the workshop, they can book in through the Womenkind Collective page. I guess you'll link to that as well. And spots are limited as well. So, and it has sold out or booked out each time. So
I'm within, sure, like 24 hours or 48 hours, which is amazing.
Yeah. So if you are interested, get in quick.
Yeah.
And locally, some of my products are available just at the fruit and veg shop in Wingham, which is called Harvest to Hamper. That's probably the main one at the moment, but there's a few shops around the place. But if you log on to my Instagram, you can find out all of that info.
And you'll have some products for sale at the workshop too, won't you?
Yeah, I usually just bring a bit of what I've got.
I'll try to remember too. I was thinking I'm going to bring either some herbal vinegar or oxymel too, just to share for people to get an idea of that and kind of literally and metaphorically wet their taste buds for the future workshop.
While we've been here
chatting and you were talking about like just finishing things, I've been looking at all my drying nettle going, yeah, I could probably put that away now. But the other thing I've been doing is sipping on a big glass of water with just like a cap full of pine needle vinegar in it. It's my new favorite drink. And it's so good. So I think I'll bring that, and I'm going to do a podcast soon on what I've learned about pine medicine, what I've been doing with that too. I might bring that along. So if you come along, you'll get a taste of this delicious pine needle vinegar.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your time. I'm so glad we persevered with the technical issues in the beginning.
Yeah.
I was getting frustrated. It all came together. It's always worth it. And that's probably a metaphor of everything we've talked about too, is just like persevere.
Yeah.
And it's always worth it.
Yeah, great. I really enjoyed being on your podcast, and thanks for encouraging me through my stage fright.
Well, you wouldn't know. No worries. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for your energy and time listening. I hope you gained something from this podcast. All the links from the show are in the show notes. Please share with friends and family if you think there may be something here for them. Till next time, many blessings.